Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And to our friends around the world, welcome. We're all partners in freedom. And most of us, regular people, not the global elite, the regular people, we are working towards the same goals, which is freedom. And most of us just want to be left alone, but unfortunately, there are some of those that won't leave us alone. We have a terrific show for you today involving what France is up to with regard to Israel. And it's dangerous. It's not only dangerous to Israel, it's dangerous to the national security of the United States, despite what this administration says and despite what the administration of France says. And we're going to get into it with you here. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And we're happy to tell you, very happy to tell you, that Noble Gold is, they have rock bottom prices and they can extricate your retirement from your bank. Put it in your control, back it with gold or silver, and you'll be out of the way. Out of the way of what? We're in some trouble with banking. And the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says you're an unsecured creditor and they can take your money whenever they want. And they don't want that popularized, but it's in statute, people. And right now, with these volatile times, protect yourself. Keep operating capital of the bank, get your retirement out, and you'll be secure. Noble Gold is the best people I've ever worked for. Why? I've been an advertiser for 8 years, but I've been a customer several times over for seven, and they're the best that there is. And you literally have to close your own deal. It's as soft sell as you're ever going to get. Federal government from the FTC wants me to tell you that any investment carries an inherent risk, and we give that warning in full faith, full confidence. But we also think they should expand the warning to the banks that are really in trouble. And when you put your money in there, can you really be sure in 30 days it'll be there? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And that's why you're getting this ad. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com and I'll send you out a free information packet with a number to Noble Gold. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Well, we have a terrific guest, and I'm really, really glad to be following up on this Israel situation because we're talking about the survival of a nation, the survival of a people. And it just seems like since the dawn of time, Israel has been under fire, even pre-Israel, and without going into too much history. Well, we have a really good guest. His name is David Rubin, and he is the mayor, or was the mayor of Shiloh, Israel. And he has something called the Shiloh Israel Fund. And you can go to this website that helps children who are victims of terrorist attacks. Yes, you heard me correctly. Victims of terrorist attacks. All you got to do is go to israelchildren.org and we'll put a link in the description box once you see this. And this will also be on our newsletter that goes out from the commonsenseshow.com. David, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you. And this is such an important issue. And there's a lot of Americans in this country, including myself, that do not support the administration's treatment of the nation of Israel and the right for self-defense. And I'm so glad you're here. And I'm so glad to hear that you're helping children because sometimes they're the forgotten victims in all this carnage. So anyway, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and indeed they are. I'd just like to start off by saying that Israel is in a war for its very survival. And most Israelis realize that, and an increasing amount of Americans realize that. Americans and other people around the world are increasingly realizing that. And it's not just a war for the survival of Israel, it's a war for the survival of the free world against a radical Islamic enemy that is trying to destroy both Israel, which they call the little Satan, and the United States, which they call the big Satan.
Right.
So in that war that we're in right now, in this existential war, we have to protect those who are most vulnerable, and the most vulnerable are the children. So that's where Shiloh Israel Children's Fund comes in. And I founded it a little bit over 20 years ago. After my 3-year-old son and I were wounded in a terror attack, we were driving back from Jerusalem in my car. And halfway home, the car was hit by a massive hail of bullets. I got shot in the leg. My son, who was, as I said, 3 years old, he got shot in the head. And the car was dead. The car wasn't starting. We had to quickly try. I had to quickly try and start the car to get away from the terrorists who were still shooting. They were shooting with AK-47 assault rifles. And we got away. Thank God, after 3 or 4 tries, I got the car to start and we got away from the terrorists and we both survived. However, I must point out the bullet that went into my son's head and through his neck missed his brain stem by 1 millimeter. So, out of that, and out of his not just physical trauma, but also psychological trauma, I started the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund for the purpose of healing the trauma of the terror victim children. So as you said, people can just go to the URL, which is israelchildren.org, israelchildren.org. They could find out more about what we're doing for the terror victim children in Israel.
I think that's fantastic. I also want to talk to you about something that you have been discussing, and that you're concerned that nations like France, and I think really the agenda of Kamala Harris is to do the same thing. She talks out of both sides of her mouth, but when she shuns the Prime Minister of Israel when he comes to the United States and doesn't preside over a joint session as she's supposed to do by duty as vice president, she's showing you where she stands. And these people want to disarm Israel. And I'll just tell you a quick anecdote. When I was a kid, my dad was a naval officer, it was a naval intel. And I asked him once, I said, why do we send so much money to Israel? It's expensive. And he said, they're our rapid deployment force. And I said, what do you mean? He said, we could never mobilize enough force if Russia moved on Middle East oil fields or Iran went crazy. He said, Israel is the stopgap. And he said, they have to be our best ally. And I thought he explained it very, very well. And that explanation never left me. Yet we got leaders in the world right now that want to disarm your country. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I mean, I couldn't agree with that more. What your dad said, and I would add to that that the intelligence that the United States gains from Israel cannot be measured in numbers. It's just enormous. The intelligence that's provided by Israel to the United States. So I think that needs to be emphasized. Now, as far as the Macrons and the Kamalas of the world, we in Israel understand, as I said, that this is an existential war. We also understand that there's an election campaign going on in the United States. And I think that's where Kamala is being influenced. She's influenced by that, and she's also influenced by a radical left-wing agenda. And the campaign is going to end another few weeks, but if she is elected, then the radical left-wing agenda will continue. The radical left-wing agenda supports communism. Sure, they call it democratic socialism. That's what she believes in,
Same thing.
or progressivism. It's a very nice term. But we in Israel have no illusions. We know who she is, and that agenda will, if she's elected, God forbid, will be carried out after she is elected. So that it's just important to point that out. Now, as far as France is concerned and Macron, he is influenced not by an election campaign, because he was just, re-elected back into office, but he is influenced by something else. He's influenced by a growing radical Muslim population in France.
That's true. Yeah.
And so on one hand, he has the left wing influence on him. And admittedly, he's not on the far left, but he is supported by many of those on the far left. And so they have his ear. And at the same time, you have that radical Muslim population, which demographically is going through the roof in France. And you could say the same thing about the UK and the rest of the Western European countries. And a few of those Western European countries are moving to a more conservative agenda because they realize the danger, such as Geert Wilders in Holland. But most of Western Europe doesn't understand the situation, and they certainly don't understand the situation in the Middle East. So I advise the Prime Minister of Israel to just go forward. And most Israelis are giving him full backing in this war, which I believe is the most just war that has been carried out in the world since World War II.
Well, you're facing proxies of Iran that have sworn to kill every Israeli citizen, to end Israel as a nation, and yet it's amazing to me the world community does not rise up against these expressed beliefs and this support of terrorism. And unfortunately, David, we have Hamas and Hezbollah inside our borders thanks to the open border policies of Biden and Kamala Harris. We're both in a great deal of danger. I think your nation more so, but it will come to our shores. There's no question. Does Israel have the resources it needs to carry out a two-front war if need be, or do you need the United States?
Okay, well, before I answer that question, I just want to point out that the Hezbollah and Hamas terrorist organizations' activity on the southern border of the United States is rooted in its activities in South and Central America, in trying to encourage that illegal immigration.
Correct.
And this goes all the way back to the G.W. Bush administration. And during that administration, it was reported in Congress. There was a committee meeting in Congress, and it was reported in that meeting that they are active, that these Islamic terrorist organizations were active at that time. Okay, so that's a long time ago. They were going back like close to 30 years. So we know that it was already happening back then. Okay, we're talking 20, 25 years ago, actually. And we know that it has been increased over time, and that there have been a lot of Muslim terrorists that have come into the United States in the past 20 years, and they've taken on Hispanic surnames in order to get through and to have their influence in the United States. And now we see it all playing out on American college campuses. So it's a danger to the United States. Yes, I agree. Obviously, during the Biden-Harris administration, the borders have been opened up again substantially, in contrast to the efforts of the Trump administration. And it is a danger. It is a danger to the United States.
David, I tour with a group called Take Our Borders Back. And a lot of these people who speak are ex-Border Patrol, ICE, federal officials, current and former. And they all tell the same story. We estimate in our country we have 100 to 200,000 terrorists. We don't know the exact number because they say of the gotaway problem, people we never encounter that slip across the border. And we're in a great deal of danger here too. But our danger is mass terrorism and mass death. I don't think it's necessarily regime change. I think the danger Israel faces, if I'm not mistaken, it's not just regime change, but it's also the death of a nation. Does your am I
Yeah.
overstating that problem?
No, as I said, it is an ex existential war for Israel's survival. So getting back to the question you had asked, Israel is not in a two-front war. Israel is in a seven-front war. We are fighting simultaneously in the north of Israel, in Lebanon. We are fighting in Gaza against the Hamas terrorists and Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon. We are also fighting against Hamas and Fatah and Islamic Jihad terrorists in Judea and Samaria, the so-called West Bank. We are also fighting against the Houthi rebels. They like to call themselves rebels. They're actually terrorists from Yemen who have been attacking international ships at sea
That's
in the
right.
Red Sea. And at the same time, we're fighting against terrorists in Syria who have been trying to attack Israel. And we've also been fighting against other Shiite Muslim terrorists from Iraq. So it's a really a multi-front war. And the only way to stop it is to fight on all of those fronts simultaneously and ultimately against the head of the octopus, which is Iran. And as you know, or I imagine most Americans know, Israel was attacked by 400 missiles from the Ayatollahs, from the regime in Iran, and 400 missiles within 1 hour. They attacked Israel just about a week ago. And you can fully expect that there will be a response. Exactly what our response will be, I think you're going to hear about it in the news.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the label Nitro Zeus, Operation Nitro Zeus?
No, I'm not. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, it was really secret. I have a broadcast partner. I do a separate show called the Doug and Dave Intel Report, and my broadcast partner is a former DHS supervisor, combat marine, and he has a couple of friends that are in tr that have had training to descend into Israel and destroy their nuclear facilities. And this is no longer a secret. When I heard about it, I was told I couldn't repeat a word of it. I think if Trump is elected, I think you're going to see that, unless this event is or these situations are resolved ahead of time.
Well, let me say this. The Iranians in their missile attack were not successful at all. The Israeli defense system picked off almost every single one of those missiles. There was one person who was killed in that attack. And that person was a Palestinian who had infiltrated Israel from Gaza, and he was training with the Palestinian Authority to be a terrorist, and he was being trained in Jericho, in the so-called West Bank. He was hit by a missile and killed immediately. So we have a very good defense system.
Yes.
And I know that, Macron of France and Biden and as well as Kamala Harris have all been saying Israel has a right to self-defense. Well, that's very nice for them to say it, and they keep repeating it over and over. However, we're not at the receiving end of target practice.
I
If
know.
you want to win a war, you have to have a very robust offense. We have a robust offense, but Biden and Harris and Macron and many others, the UN, the meaningless UN, they have all been pushing Israel to fight this war with one hand tied behind our back, or in fact, two hands tied behind our back. And we're just supposed to duck these missiles. But that's not something that we're going to do. And most Israelis are very much in favor of going forward with this war. And we are a country where people's vote means something. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go forward.
You think strong retaliatory action is imminent?
I think strong retaliatory action is not only imminent, but is virtually absolute and necessary. It's absolutely necessary, and we've been training for it for a lot of years, unfortunately. We have had to train for it for a lot of
Course.
years, and we're going to go forward. We're going to do what we have to do. At the same time, I'd like one more time to just emphasize to your listeners and viewers that Israel is a country in national trauma. After the massacre on October 7th, we will, when 1,200 Israelis were slaughtered, raped, beheaded, burned alive, we are a changed people. We cannot go back to what was on October 6th, and we're just past that anniversary of that horrible massacre that we will never forget, and we will never forgive. And we're going to win this war. We're going to win this war for Western civilization. But at the same time, we have to heal the trauma of the children. We have to help the children who've been so traumatized from everything that's happened, the terrorism and the war and the broken families from fathers having to go out to fight in the reserves for this entire year and hardly seeing their families at all. It's a scale of PTSD that no one should ever have to go through. So again, I want to encourage people to stand with us. And the best way to stand with Israel is to stand with the children of Israel, by going to israelchildren.org.
Yeah,
Israelchildren.org.
we're certainly going to promote that for you. And I think it's such a worthy cause. I would like to ask you a political question here. I think I know the answer, but who's Israel rooting for in this upcoming election?
Well, as you know, Israel does not take a formal position.
Okay.
The Prime Minister Netanyahu and other Israeli leaders try very hard not to interfere in the United States internal election, and as we hope that they would not do with us, even though the Obama administration did interfere in our previous election, and so did Biden. But having said that, I'm not an elected official. I am just a former mayor of Shiloh. So I will tell you that there is no question among Israelis that Trump is far and away the better choice. And as a dual American citizen, I've been living in Israel 32 years, but I do know about the American landscape. And I could tell you that not just for local American reasons, such as the economy and fighting crime and fighting the terrorism that you described from the southern border, not just for those reasons, but mainly for the United States' relationship with Israel. There is no doubt Trump's accomplishments when he was president were tremendous for Israel, strengthening our relationship with the United States. Kamala Harris, as I described earlier, reflects the positions of the radical left. She's tried to shift a lot of her positions since she was appointed as the new candidate. But look, anyone who studies her record knows where she really stands.
That's true.
And Israelis are very concerned.
Yeah, well, we're very concerned in this country too. You know, my wife and I are having serious discussions about what we're going to do if Kamala's in, because we look at what we're going through here, many of us, as a Bolshevik communist revolution. And if she gets in, communist revolutions are accompanied by purges after the centralization of power, and that's what we're concerned about here. People who are conservative feel like we have bullseyes on our backs, and I do think if she's in, lack of support for Israel will come right to the forefront, and it'll be obvious to everybody if she's in as president. I think
So
there's no
let's,
question. I wanted to ask you one more question about,
well, if I could just say one thing,
sure.
try to hold your question. I would like to just comment on that.
Sure.
In my book, my most recent book, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. Okay, and people can find out more about it by going to confrontingradicals.com. And in that book, I spoke about that, the threat, the threat to the United States from this radical left aggression. Now, the left in the United States has been very shrewd. They've been playing this game since the 1960s. They've infiltrated the educational system and taken over, in fact, the educational system in the United States, the public school system, the university system, the colleges. And that is a terrible, terrible threat to the United States. That's why you have all this craziness going on with the gender confusion and all kinds of craziness. However, there is no change. And I tell you, as a student of history, there is no change that is irreversible. And that change that the left has brought on in America is irreversible. It is reversible. And all that it takes is for people to get out and vote and have an impact. So I just can't urge that strongly enough. As Elon Musk said at the Trump rally a few days ago, every vote is critical,
It is.
especially in such a close election.
Well, we don't think it's really that close. So there's questions about the polls, but we don't know what the cheat factor is. And this is something a lot of us are discussing in terms of how much more you're going to have to win than you should have to because of the cheating factor. I mean, in 19 states, they're registering illegal aliens to vote courtesy of driver's licenses, and that could change the election. Fortunately, only one of the swing states is involved in that, so we're hopeful it won't be a major factor. I wanted to ask you about Russia, and I know a retaliatory strike against Iran in some fashion is coming. Is there concern in Israel, do you think, about retaliation from Russia when Israel takes action against Iran for the attack?
No, I think the Russians have their hands full in Ukraine,
I do too.
and I don't see the Russians getting directly involved. They may provide some military support, but hopefully our attack on Iran when it comes will be so devastating that the Russians aren't going to want to get involved on a losing side in a second war at this time. And if I could, I just want to emphasize again, I know about the cheat factor in the last couple of American elections, especially the last one, which was carried out over during Corona, which during the COVID crisis, which was a great opportunity to take advantage of the system. because people had their guard down. But hopefully the GOP has been paying attention, and even if there is some cheating, hopefully it won't swing the election in the wrong direction. And I think that people just need to be even more motivated because of that. That yes, the worst thing would be if people say, "Well, I'm not going to go out and vote because they cheat." People need to go out and vote.
Yeah, that's what we're emphasizing. I often say on my show, take 10 people with you, mail in 10 early ballots for people. This is the most critical election in American history, because I think if Kamala gets in, I fear this is the end of America as we know it. But David, one thing that I really want to emphasize, I think, to sum up where we've been today, people who don't think this Israel situation is critical, they are one of the most important, if not the most important ally that we have. And it'll be open season on America without the combination defense of America and Israel. And Kamala Harris and Barack Obama have aided and abetted Iran in the attempted extinction of Israel by supplying them with the money necessary to acquire dangerous weapons. And I wanted to make sure I got this in this broadcast. I want to tell you too, David, I'm very impressed with your knowledge, the detailed knowledge you're displaying with regard to American politics, not just how it affects Israel, but how it affects America. And it's disheartening to me that we have so many people in this country that live here every day and they're almost clueless about what's happening to us. So I appreciate your level of expertise. I want to give out your contact information again to help the children of Israel who have been really, this is just horrendous, victims of terrorism. Terrorizing children. I mean, I don't think I need to say any more. So you go to israelchildren.org, and then you wrote a book that we can get a hold of by going to confrontingradicals.com. I hope I got all that right.
You did. You did.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
David, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your struggle. Okay, and I will tell you this, most Americans are with Israel. And we need to be with Israel. I'm a Christian. So, I'm brainwashed by my religion that says, the Jews are the chosen people. It says it clearly in the Bible. But even setting aside my spiritual beliefs, okay, I'm a pragmatist. We need a strong Israel. And I appreciate your efforts.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate you for having me on the show, and let's stand together and do great things in the
I
time ahead.
agree. And ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be back after this. And thanks to our guest, David Rubin. Support him. Go to his sites. Thanks, David.